Open your Bibles, please, to the book of 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. Your Scofield Reference Bible, page 1269. We'll be reading responsively verses 13 through 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, page 1269. And let's stand, please, for the reading of this passage. The first verse, which I will read, is the text verse. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words, and let's pray. Father, what a blessed passage. Thank you for your word. Bless today to our hearing thy word and help us to be very careful to hear each and every word that you put upon the heart and the mouth of our preacher. And so bless him as well. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Always, I think almost always on Lord's Supper Day, I remind you that what our schedule will be. It is now 11:33 according to that clock up there. I promise you that I'll be close my sermon before 12:05, and it may be sooner. I promise you by 12:05 or sooner I'll be finished preaching, and I promise you that we'll leave before 12:30. So we'll not get out any later than usual. I realize that it's the Lord's Supper Day. We're a little bit late. But I also realize that you want to get to the restaurant before the Methodists do. And so I certainly assure you that we'll be finished with our preaching before they're finished with their Mass. And so I assure you of that. I want to speak this morning on the subject, what in the world is wrong with grief? What in the world is wrong with grief? Our Heavenly Father, I believe this morning I have something to say that's worth hearing. I believe it's worth hearing because it's biblical. I believe it's worth hearing because I know what I'm talking about. And I pray you to help me to convey this truth to my people today and those who share this hour with this family called First Baptist Church. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Nothing so typifies this generation like rock music. Just what's wrong, somebody says, with rock music? Well, in the first place, I'm 62 years old. If I live to 70, I don't have time to tell you all the things wrong with it. But just for the illustration this morning, rock music, as music, not just words, or the words that they put to it are certainly the type of words. Are you listening to me this morning? Are you listening to me? They're saying the type words, and as rotten as the music is, and the music is as rotten as the words. Now, here's musically one thing, I think, perhaps the major thing, is wrong with rock music. It takes one particular beat and hits it all the time. It takes one particular part of music, hits it all the time. For example, there's nothing wrong with a minor key sometime in a song. But good music covers the spectrum. You listen to any good music, and it has a little fast music. It has a little slow. It goes high, it goes low. But rock music is wrong, not among other reasons, because it somehow, we got to be up here stirred up all the time. It's one part of the spectrum of music. Nothing so shows our depraved nation as does our modern art. Our modern art only shows one side of art. It does not show the entire spectrum. Now, I'm going to shock you when I say this. You drive down State Street over here, and you come to Calumet City. And I'm not sure what town this big water tower is in, but there's a smiling face on the water tower. And that's the case everywhere. And nothing shows the problem with this generation like that does. Because we're not supposed to smile all the time. We're not supposed to have the same kind of fast pitched beat all the time. We're not supposed to have just the bright side of art all the time. Good art has some dark, melancholy colors as well as bright, cheerful colors. Life is that way. There is no high if there's no low, there's no hot if there's no cold, and there's no joy if there's no sorrow. And grief is just as much a part of a life and is necessary to a happy life and a successful life as sorrow is, as joy is. Didn't the wise man say there's a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to rejoice, a time to mourn? You see, we're perverted in our lives. We don't want to grieve. We classify grief as a bad word. We shun it like the plague. But I want to say again, nobody will ever have a rich life who doesn't have some grief. Grief is just as important to a rich and contented life as joy is. And tears are just as important as laughter. But we shun it. Now, the truth is, grief is a good word like peace. And grief is a good word like joy. And grief is a good word like love. And grief is a good word like grace. Let me give you this morning the proper place of grief in your life. The first thing I want to say is this. Jesus never came to take away your burden. He came to give you a different kind of burden. Open your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. I want you to read it out loud with me, please. Matthew chapter 11, verse number 28 and 29. Make it verse 28 through 30. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. I want you to read it out loud with me, please. Page 1011 in your Scofield Bible. All right, look at verse 28 and read it out loud. Ready? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Let's stop there. Look at me a minute. Jesus said, you have a burden? You come unto me and I'll lift that burden. Now let's read verse 29. Ready? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Read the last verse. Ready? For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now in verse 40 it says, you take my yoke upon you. Then he said, you will learn of me. You will never know Jesus till you have grief. I mean, you can be saved, but you'll never know Christ and learn of Christ till you do it. You have grief as well as joy. You have tears as well as laughter. Then he said, I will give you rest. You shall find rest unto your souls. How do you find rest to your souls? First, grief. First, he said, take my yoke upon you. So, how do you find rest? First thing is to bring your burden to the Lord. Second thing, take his burden that he gives you in place of yours. Third thing, you'll learn of him. But folks don't know him well who don't have grief. Folks don't know him well who have no sorrow. Folks don't know him well who have no burden. Jesus said, first, bring the burden you've got to me and I'll take it. But he said, I know you need a burden, and I'll give you a burden. I'll give you grief. I'll give you tears. Take my yoke upon you. Take my grief upon you. Take my sorrow upon you. Take my burden upon you. Take my tears upon you. And then he said, learn of me. I'll say it again. Nobody in this room who lives in the froth of life ever learns of Jesus. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him. And you'll know him by the nail prints in his hands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find him. Joshua saw him when he was about to fight the battle, the night before the battle. Stephen saw him when he was stoned to death. The Hebrew children saw him in the fire furnace.
They didn't see him at Six Flags over over Illinois. Six Flags over America. What? Great America. Six Flags over. Okay. So anyhow, Six Flags. They didn't see him either place. They didn't see him at a football halftime show. They didn't see him at a picture show. They didn't see him at a singing. They didn't see him at a party. They didn't see him at a picnic. They didn't see him at a feast or a banquet. They saw him in grief. And I tell you what, I'm so sick of people. We say, did he take it well? Did he take it well? So and so died. Did his wife take it? What do you expect to do? Shout? What do you expect to read a magazine during a funeral service? Nobody ought to take it well. There ought to be grief. You ought to hurt when your loved ones die. I mean, hurt. This old generation running from tears and running from, what a beautiful day this is. The sun is shining. Well, bless God, it's a pretty day when it's raining, too. I mean, we had all sunshine this summer, and look how we griped. When you have all sunshine in your life, you'll gripe. It's not the people that complain or the folks who have the shadows. It's the folks that have all the sunshine. Because it is as important for us to have rain as it is to have sunshine. It's as important to have clouds as it is a clear day. It's as important to cry as it is to laugh. And tears and sorrow and heartache and grief and hurt and pain and burden are just as much of life as laughter and partying and fun. And this old pleasure mad generation needs to learn that there is a ministry in pain, in sorrow, in grief, and in tears. Jesus never came to take away your burden, but to give you a different kind of a burden. Next thing I want to do is this. If it be true, now follow me carefully. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We were there a while ago. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 13. Page 1269 in your Scofield Bible. Read that verse with me aloud, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. Ready? But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Now look at me. That verse does not tell us not to sorrow. Look at me. That verse does not tell us not to sorrow. That verse tells us that our sorrow is not the same kind of sorrow as those that have no hope. Jesus, here's what Jesus said. If you sorrow as those that have no hope, come unto me and learn of me, and I'll give you rest. Then take my sorrow upon you as those who have hope, and you shall find rest unto your souls. When you come to Christ, you come to trade sorrow for sorrow, not sorrow for laughter. You come to trade sorrow for sorrow. But you come to trade a hopeless sorrow for a hopeful sorrow. And he says, come to me, if you have burdens, heavy laden, I'll give you rest. But he didn't say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you giggles. He didn't say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you jokes. He didn't say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you laughter. Jesus never came to replace grief with joy and happiness and fun. He never came to replace laughter and smiles or tears with laughter and smiles. He came to give us a sorrow that has hope in place of the world's sorrow, which has no hope. Now, I want to give you four things about this new sorrow, this new grief. He said, take my... The word yoke could mean grief. He said, come to me, all you that labor and have grief, and I'll give you rest. Now take my grief upon you. He gives you his grief in place of the devil's grief. The devil's grief has no hope. The devil's grief has to get drunk to forget itself. But bless God, Jesus came that to give us joy and peace in our heartaches and in our griefs. Four things. One is, what kind of grief does he give us? His grief is a grief that has hope. I go to my mother's grave. I stand there beside the crypt that contains her body. And I never go there without weeping. And I go there planning to weep. Because my mother deserves to have a son that misses her. And my mother deserves to have a son that weeps because she's gone. And I go there and I think of all she did for me and all she sacrificed for me. And I always say out loud, I love you, Mother, and I appreciate all that you did and all the sacrifices that you made for me, and I miss you, and I stand there and weep, and yet I don't despair. I leave that place saying, some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. Some golden daybreak, battle's all won. He'll shout the victory, break through the blue. Some golden daybreak for me and for you. I mourn, I weep, but a hopeful weep, because I have a hope that someday that crypt's going to open and my mother's body's going to rise to meet our Lord in the air. It is a grief with hope. Don't run from grief. Enjoy it. I've used this illustration many times, but it best illustrates what I'm saying right now. I was at O'Hare Field. I've been there 3 or 4 times in my life. In fact, when somebody asked me, what's your home address? I said, O'Hare Field. But I go to O'Hare Field a little early usually, and I walk up and down the concourses, the hallways there, and go from gate to gate trying to find somebody that needs help. And I was walking this particular day up and down Concourse D, I think it was. It's not there anymore. It was torn down when the United built their new airline, but in Concourse D, I think. And I saw a couple weeping, an older couple, very old, about 62. I saw them weeping. And I walked over to them and I said, my name is Jack Hiles. I'm a Baptist preacher. I saw you weeping. I just wondered if I could help you. And I said, and the man said, yes, sir. He said, our daughter just got on that plane. Our daughter has cancer. The doctor says it's terminal. She had to fly back to her family. And we're afraid we'll never see her again. That's why we're crying. And I prayed with them and comforted them. Told them about Christ. That same morning, I was walking down that same concourse past another gate. I saw another couple about that same age, maybe a little younger, weeping. And I walked over and I said, my name is Jack Hiles. I'm pastor of a Baptist church. And I saw you weeping. I was wondering anything I could do to help you. And the man said, yes, sir. He said, that door right there, our only daughter just left for college. He said, I don't know why we're crying like this. He said, we know she's coming home for Christmas. But we still, it hurts. And I prayed with them. Now that's what I'm saying. Two sorrows. They looked exactly alike. I couldn't tell the difference. But one was weeping because they were afraid they'd never see their daughter again. And the other was weeping because they're going to miss their daughter for the next 4.5 months or 4 months. One, sure, tears, same chemical content. But one was weeping as those that have no hope. And what Jesus says, he doesn't say don't weep. He says don't weep like those that have no hope. He doesn't say don't hurt. He wants us to hurt. He doesn't say don't hurt. He doesn't say don't grieve. He wants us to grieve. I feel so sorry for this demented, sick, perverted country of ours and generation of ours that wants to laugh all the time and party all the time and smile all the time. Bless your little heart. You won't enjoy smiling as much till you hurt inside. It's a part of life. It's a part of a rich life. It's a part of, don't run from grief. It's a grief that has hope. Second thing about this new grief he gives us, not only is it a grief, his grief, his hope, his sorrow, his tears, but it is a grief that propels and not defeats. Follow me carefully. He said, come unto me, all you that grieve, and I'll give you rest. Take my grief upon you. Now, what is the difference in this grief we lose that he takes and this grief we take that he gives? What is the difference? One, a grief that has hope is his in the place of a grief that has no hope. Second, A grief that propels in place of a grief that defeats. Now, here's what I'm saying. Here's somebody who loses a loved one. And they say, I just can't live without him. I want to quit my job. Go to pieces. I'm not going to feed my family. If it's a lady, I can't cook anymore. Can't keep the house. And she just totally goes to pieces and cracks up. Now, that's the grief he comes to take away. But he gives you in the place a grief that says, my mama's gone and she can't witness anymore, so I'll witness double. My father's gone and he can't serve God anymore, and I'll serve double. My mother's in heaven and she's watching me, and that propels me to serve God more. That's the kind of grief he gives. I go to my father's grave. And I grieve because of my father dying, as far as I know, an unsaved man. And I grieve. I could let that grief cause me to live my life in despair. But I don't do that. I say, because nobody reached my dad, I'll reach somebody else's dad. Every Saturday night before I go to bed, I take my billfold out and I get the picture of my father, the last one he had made. And I put it on the floor and get on my knees and look at that picture. And I hurt on the inside, remembering the day he sat in my service and I preached to him, and he didn't trust the Savior. And that night he sat there again and turned down the Savior. And that afternoon I tried to witness to him, and he told me he'd get saved later. And I didn't screw him down and didn't try to impress upon him and beseech him to be saved then. I hurt on the inside, but I get off my knees at night and say, tomorrow I'll be preaching to somebody's dad, and tomorrow I'll be preaching to somebody's mother, and I'll give my best. My father's death will propel me to serve God better, and my mother's death will propel me to serve God better. That's what I'm talking about. Jesus didn't come to take grief from you. He came to trade griefs with you. He came to say to you, you folks that are grieving as those that have no hope. I watch them come by the caskets here. I can tell the good Christians in the family by the way they look at the corpse. Here comes a godly person who's grieving, but rejoicing because the loved one's in heaven. Rejoicing because there is a heaven. Don't you tell me that the Reinberg family isn't grieving today. Don't you tell me Mrs. Strawn isn't grieving today. Don't you tell me Russell Laird and his family aren't grieving today. But blessed be God, that grief that has nothing but despair, that hopeless grief, Jesus came to take it away. He came to put in its place a grief that has hope and a grief that propels and not defeats. You've heard me say this many times. I walk out that office door every time I go to the airport and stop at the waiting room. And look at Dr. John Rice's picture. And I hurt on the inside and usually shed some tears. Remember the 22 years that he and I traveled together, and I hurt on the inside and I tell him, I love you, Dr. John, and I miss you. And I'm trying to carry out the thing that you and I did, and I hope you're proud of me as I'm trying to carry out the things that you and I tried to do for those 22 years. And I hurt on the inside, but I said, Dr. Rice, I'm going to get him tonight. I'm going to get him. Why? Because the grief I feel in my soul for you and my hurt that I have because I miss you is propelling me to serve my God. Quit running from tears. Quit running from grief. Quit running from sorrow. I watch you folks come down the aisle. Look at the corpse. Here they come. You see them many times. They walk down the aisle and they just take a little glance. That hard look on their face. The fact that they don't want to face reality. They don't want to touch death. They don't want to see death. They want to forget that guy ever existed that's laying there in that casket. He deserves you to hurt. He deserves you to remember. He also deserves you to use his death as a propulsion so you can serve God better. Take up the slack left by his homegoing. This grief. Fellow, sit up here on the front row. Hey, wake up. Sit up there, son. Sit up there. Yeah, you. Look at me while I'm preaching. This is not a slumber party. That's another thing that's wrong with this old world. We don't want to scold our kids. We want to take them. We want to be a Cub game one day and a picnic the next day. Bears game the next day. Zoo the next day. Life is not built on zoos and picnics alone. Life is built on training and discipline and tears and hurt and sorrow and grief as well as the other. What is the difference in this grief He came to take and the grief He came to give? What is the difference in this grief we came to give to Him and the grief we take from Him? First, a grief that has hope in place of a grief that has no hope. Second, a grief that propels in place of a grief that defeats. Third, a grief that is a part, not the whole. A grief that is a part, not the whole. Jesus does not want us to have the Lord's Supper all the time. Jesus wants us to have a watch night service and enjoy it. Jesus wants us to have a preaching service and enjoy it. He wants us to have He didn't mind us having some recreation and enjoying it. But He said, don't leave grief out of your life. Don't leave grief for Me out of your life. Jesus says, I want you to set some time when you think about Me. And if Jesus deserves us to set some time, we think about Him and weep for His pain and love Him and remember Him and grieve because He grieved, certainly we ought to do the same thing for each other. That's the purpose of Memorial Day. And I'm angry that we call it Veterans Day. Do we change that? Is Memorial Day we change Veterans Day? Or Mr. Anyway, I don't know. Doesn't make any difference. You're not listening anyway. That's what Memorial Day is all about. Memorial Day is a day when we're supposed to go to the graves of those that we love that are gone and grieve for them. Now, it is not right that we grieve all the time. Jesus came and said, let Me have your yoke. Let Me have your burden. We give it to Him. We start. He said, hold it, wait a minute. You need a burden. You don't need not to have a burden. You need to have a burden. You need to hurt. You need to cry as well as laugh. But He said, take Mine. And His, are you listening? His is a grief that is a part and not the whole. Number four, and I got to hurry. Number four. It is a grief that is scheduled and controlled. Open your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Page 698 in your Scofield Bible. Page 698 in your Scofield Bible. One of you adults in the second row, come and sit between those boys there. Just sit right between them. That's right in the middle. Thank you. All right. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. To everything there's a season, a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up. Read the next verse with me, please, out loud. Ready? A time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. Read it again. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. Now, dance means rejoice. Now listen to me. God is not saying here that He will determine those times. He's saying we ought to have times. He said there ought to be some time in your life where you rejoice. As I mentioned last Wednesday night, there's a time every week of my life, every day of my life, when I spend 15 minutes a day having a spell, rejoicing and praising my God. I choose that. I schedule that. I have a time for that. But I also have a time to weep. I schedule it. Have a time when I hurt, and I hurt on purpose. I'm saying we ought to have a grief that is scheduled and controlled. Now listen to me. Every week and nearly every day when I'm home. Nearly every day. I would not say every day, but nearly every day. And certainly every week more than once. I go to the rooms where our children used to live in our house. And I remember when they were there. And I hurt because they're gone. I go to the room where Cindy used to be. And I hurt because she's gone. I also hurt because to whom she went. But I hurt. I miss her. I miss Linda. I miss Becky and Dave. I go to their rooms. I look at the picture of Becky, a little golden-haired girl. I look at the picture of Linda and Cindy. Cindy's picture's in the room where she used to live. And I hurt. Now, I don't live in those rooms. I don't stay in any of those rooms all the time. I have a life to live. I have a ministry. I have people to help. I have people to cheer. So I have a time to laugh. I have a time to mourn. You know what's wrong with you? Well, among other things. You know what's wrong with you? You don't live a scheduled life. You have no schedule whatsoever. There ought to be a time in your life, regularly, where you set aside some time to have a spell and say, Hallelujah, praise God, glory to God, I'm saved, my name is written in heaven. But there ought to be a time when you get alone and say, I hurt because my kids hurt. I hurt because my mother's gone. I hurt because my father's gone. The Lord Jesus comes this morning, and I know this charismatic hodgepodge and the 700 Club and the PTO Club and all that stuff. And you come to Jesus and you'll never cry again. Oh, poppycock, foolishness, and horseradish and Chicago Cubs. Any other dirty words I can think about? That's silly. He didn't come to make you rich. He came to give you a life that's rich. And that life that's rich has poverty sometimes and prosperity sometimes. And that life that's rich has laughter sometimes and tears sometimes. And that life that's rich has rejoicing sometimes and grief sometimes. And that life that's rich hurts sometimes and feels good sometimes. And that life that's rich has every day has a noonday and every day has a midnight. Hey, you go up around the North Pole for a while. You go where I've been to Fairbanks, Alaska, sometime when it's in the middle of summertime. And at midnight, you can play ball. If you got a lighted ball. No, but at midnight, I mean it. I woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning one day, went out and played ball. 2 o'clock in the morning, spooky. Sometimes I've been up there in the wintertime. You can get up at 11 o'clock in the morning and get up before the sun comes up. Spooky. You like that, don't you? I mean, it's spooky. If God never planned it so we'd have all sunshine. In a 24-hour day, it is the normal thing to have darkness and light. It's a normal thing to have a time of resting and a time of rejoicing and a time of activity. In a time of repose, it's a normal thing to have a noontime. It's also a normal thing to have a midnight. Whatever happened to grief? What in the world is wrong with grief anyhow? But here's the tragedy. The tragedy is there are people sitting here this morning who have the wrong kind of grief. You have the kind of grief that has no hope. You have the kind of grief that has no propulsion but defeats. You have the kind of grief that is the whole. It's not a part. Your life is so full of grief, you've got to drink to forget it. You've got to take some dope to forget it. Jesus comes and says to you this morning, I do not want you to have a life with no grief. I do not want you to have a life with no hurt. I do not want you to have a life with no pain. I do not want you to have a life with no sorrow. He said, I won't take it from you. But he said, just as sure as I take it from you, I'm going to give to you my burden and my yoke that has a hope, that's a part and not the whole, that has propulsion and not grief and defeat, and one that is scheduled and controlled. Let us pray.